Let's go. Welcome to Noise and Notes, WFPL's political podcast. I'm Philip Bailey, joined here by Joe Sanka, staff writer at Leo Weekly, and Kenny Colston, Kentucky Public Radio's Frankfort Bureau Chief. Guys, how you doing?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Let's just jump right into it. The audit of Richie Farmer. Everyone was anticipating this. And for those who don't know, Richie Farmer, the former agriculture commissioner, Mr. Basketball here in Kentucky, part of the Unforgettables. This audit, is it the end of Richie Farmer's political career?
Without any doubt whatsoever. The only question right now is whether Attorney General Jack Conway is going to follow through and try to prosecute him.
Because I'm thinking, I mean, there are some silly things in there and some serious things in there, but this audit overall is damning. I mean, you have this from the silly to the point where he's shooting a deer reportedly, allegedly, from his state vehicle and has a state employee bag it, having state employees build a basketball court on his property. But what are some of the more serious issues in the audit?
Well, you're talking about the not reporting anything to the executive branch ethics commissions in terms of gifts. Of course, his attorney tried to say that all his gifts came because he was a former University of Kentucky basketball player, not because he was agriculture commissioner. But you really can't blur those lines when you're in office. I mean, if you get a gift and you're in office, you have to report that. He reported no gifts. He didn't report the concrete used for the basketball court. He didn't report any of these things that he got, whether he paid for them or not. And there's a lot of other things. I mean, you're talking about maybe half a dozen illegal hires. I mean, there are multiple state laws that Richie Farmer allegedly broke, and we knew that before the audit came out.
And this is a perfect storm. I mean, you have a guy who is certainly popular in the state. I think even still, we could argue that people out in the parts of the state still love Richie Farmer, but who is running a department where people sort of pay attention to it, but not really. But there's a lot of money in the agriculture department. I mean, I'm thinking about the $4,000 that was used to book the hotels. There's the trips. There's the buying the shotguns for other agriculture commissioners who've gone here. I mean, some of the equipment we still haven't gotten back, the refrigerators.
I'm not sure if the love is going to last. Even if you look at like Kentucky Sports Radio, the Kentucky basketball message boards, if you look into the comments, I mean, there aren't many people at all sticking up for Richie Farmer.
And that team was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that was 20 years ago. But I mean, he's still, you know, his jersey's up in the rafters at Rupp Arena. He's still a legend of, especially going back all the way to the days of the Sweet 16.
And his dream job is basically over too. I mean, his dream job always was being athletic director of University of Kentucky. That's over too, right?
You have to be crazy to put him in charge.
I don't think anybody's going to give Richie a job where he oversees a lot of money. I don't think that would be wise. But the agriculture department is a very important department. I mean, you could argue it does everything from, you know, manage rides at the state fairs to, you know, helping, you know, the state beekeepers there. If you have like an infestation or you have, you know, you harvest bees, you know, and they all start dying. Bat disease where they get the white nose. That name's blanking on me, but that's the agriculture department. It's wide ranging. It's more than just beef and cattle and corn and soybeans. I mean, it's a wide ranging department. So to have a lot of waste in this department affects all the way from literally, you know, as the saying goes, Paducah to Pikeville.
I don't know if any of you have talked to people who are associated with Mr. Farmer, either during the Williams campaign, during the gubernatorial race, but I've tried to contact these folks. No one wants to talk about him. This guy Farmer was considered the most popular Republican in the state at a certain point. I mean, talk about how far a person has fallen.
And oddly enough, probably the one that's the most popular now is the one who was standing right by Adam Edlin during the presentation of the audit, James Comer, who took his job.
Now, the one thing go ahead, Kenny.
Well, I was just going to say the reason why you can't get anybody associated with Richie Farmer to talk about him is because no one wants to be associated with him anymore. He's paying one lawyer in Frankfort to basically be his mouthpiece, and he has to pay that guy to talk for him. I mean, no one wants to touch him. No one in the Republican Party wants to touch Richie Farmer with a 10-foot pole, and it just kind of goes to show you. I mean, you can do this in any state. Sports success is not always a good blueprint for political success, and Richie Farmer is the key example of that.
Now, his lawyer had a statement, had a press conference, and basically said, this is political, which I think we all expected him to say. Now, is it political? I mean, you have Adam Edlin, the Democratic auditor, and you have James Comer, the Republican new agriculture commissioner. They certainly benefit from this.
Well, I have a question to ask, though. How could Adam Edelin have presented this without it looking political? I mean, is there any possible way that he could have outlined all of these things and not been not had that criticism?
This audit is political in and of itself. When you specifically talk about auditing a former office holder, not auditing an organization, not arguing. I mean, this was the audit of Richie Farmer's term as agriculture commissioner, not audit of the agriculture department. So it was political on its face, but audits like this have to be. I mean, just when you talk about terms. But clearly Adam Edelin's going to get a bump from this. James Comer continues to kind of set himself as I'm the new face of the Republican Party of Kentucky.
Comer comes out of this better than Edelin does.
Exactly. He gets to have basically a fresh slate in the agriculture department. And if he wants to run for governor in a term or two, you know, he doesn't.
He can say, hey, look, even when my own beloved, no one can ever say to James Comer, you're a party hack, you're a partisan hack. He can always point to this and say, no, I put up one of our more popular members on the cross.
Right. And even if there are problems in the agricultural department in the coming year, he can just say, well, look, I'm raising the Titanic here. You know, look at what I've been left with.
Yeah, look, it wasn't my predecessor. Is it sort of like, I mean, is Richie Farmer the Sarah Palin of Kentucky?
You know, there's you could talk about that. I guess you could also wonder if David Williams is the John McCain, the guy who's been around for a while in a very important senatorial aspect and who just thought it was his turn to run and maybe didn't do as much vetting on the lieutenant governor front as he could have. I mean, I don't know if Sarah Palin could manage better than Richie Farmer. I know she had some problems back in Alaska, but they didn't seem to be on the same scale of Richie Farmer just running the agriculture department as he saw fit.
The question really is, will he be prosecuted? This audit has been forwarded to several law enforcement agencies, the IRS, I think the Executive Ethics Commission, the Kentucky Attorney General. Will Jack Conway, who has probably gubernatorial ambitions or some ambitions of his own, will he prosecute Richie Farmer? Will we see the Richie Farmer trial?
Well, I'm hearing just rumors at this point. The rumors are no, but that's we'll have to see. I mean, there are, you know, great risks in prosecuting someone who's known as a legend throughout the state. Are you going to prosecute Richie Farmer and maybe face a backlash? But then again, if you don't prosecute him, do you look like you're allowing this person to get off just because they're a basketball star?
Here's the question, though. What exactly do you prosecute? A lot of the state laws that Richie broke, you know, those come with like fines or public reprimands. I mean, I can't think of a more public reprimand than an audit, basically saying you did a horrible job. You know, depending on who you talk to, Richie might not have a lot of money left over. If he manages the department like this, how do you think he manages?
So this might be punishment enough, banishment from...
I mean, it might be. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's probably already gone. I mean, through news stories that we've all done, that we've seen in other places, and now this audit, can you think of a more public trial? I mean, there wasn't a judge, there wasn't a jury, except the Kentucky public. And you have to say, you know, even when Kentucky sports fans are turning on Richie Farmer of all people, you have to think, what else can he do? I mean, who's going to hire him? What business is going to hire him? He's unemployed. No one wants to hire him. He can't even start back his own insurance company that he had before he ran for office, because who would buy insurance from Richie Farmer at this point? And, you know, his political career is done. I don't know how you rehab from this, even 10, 20 years down the road. A lot of Kentucky politicians will do something scandalous or have something bad happen, lose a big race. 10 years later, they'll pop back up and all of a sudden restart their career. I don't see how you hit the restart button on some of these allegations.
That makes me just, you made me sad for a moment there.
He's not even going to get the Southern Bell milk commercials that he used to have back in the 90s. Not even advertising.
There is a tragic element to this. Rise and fall of a political figure.
One thing we haven't talked about, not only that, but I remember in the press conference, Edelin said that the farmer's ex-wife cooperated with in the investigation. I mean, and then I remember when I interviewed him at the Kentucky Farm Bureau last year, I mean, he was talking about how, you know, having this sort of media scrutiny really was affecting him and his family. All joking aside, is there something that's sort of tragic and maybe personally going on with him?
That's for Richie to figure out. I mean, that's not been shared publicly. But when the people who used to prop you up, you know, have abandoned you in the Republican Party, when your successor is throwing you so far under the farm tractor, who's there for you?
I think Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino's going to be the guy to, you know, he rebuilt Richie Farmer from the chubby little kid who couldn't get up and down the floor. I think maybe Rick Pitino's the person.
I believe the coach has enough problems already, has already gone through his controversy, and he's probably done with those type of situations. All right. Well, thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Joe, for joining us here on Noise and Notes. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you.
Way to dribble up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks and taking it to the home.
There aren't many high-profile elections this year, but the Commonwealth's attorney's race here in Jefferson County is an important one. Surprisingly, it hasn't gotten much attention until a controversy over the early release of an inmate now accused of murder. Joining me is Louisville defense attorney Brandon Lawrence, who hosts Let's Talk It Over every Saturday on WLOU 1350. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Philip?
Pretty good, man. Now, this is interesting to me. I mean, we have, before we get into any sort of discussion, let's just give people the four candidates who are running. We have Tom Wine, who's a retired, I believe, Court of Appeals judge.
Right.
Stephen Ryan, who's a retired circuit court judge. Carol Cobb, who was a retired assistant Commonwealth's attorney. And Tom Van der Rostein, who's a prosecutor, who's a current prosecutor
right.
Under Dave Stengel, the Commonwealth Attorney's office now. First, let me ask, why hasn't this race gotten any attention? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, the Commonwealth Attorney is one of the more important positions in this county.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I was asking the same thing you were asking. But I think it's because the Commonwealth Attorney position in Jefferson County is like close to, if not more, just more important than the police chief, because it's, you know, it's like a
the mayor, police chief, and the prosecutor.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably one of those things people don't pay attention until something like you said newsworthy happens. But I don't know why it's not a sexier race. But
yeah.
it's very important. It's a very important election position.
My theory behind that is that, sort of like the judicial races, even though the judicial races and this prosecutor's races are very different, but when it comes to those judicial races, it's the most important position in the sense that people, 9 times out of 10, the first official they run into is a district court judge.
Right.
But there's very little to talk about in those races. And I think people approach this from Stengel's leaving after 15 years. What is there to talk about? There's plenty of issues out there. But I think it's sort of similar to how we have the judicial races where we don't really pay attention. What are the issues? How do we talk to these candidates? I think it's sort of that, like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You don't pay attention until something comes up and it's in your face and they've got to make a decision. Like when, what was that, the shooting with the two Louisville athletes.
Yeah.
Stengel was front and center because he had to make a decision whether or not to charge and also whether or not to appeal the judge's decision not to prosecute the guy.
Or a situation like a police shooting where, I believe back in 2004, the Michael Newby shooting, where there was the question of, is the prosecutor going to indict Mackenzie Mattingly, the former Louisville Metro police officer at that time. So you're right, these high-profile cases. What are some questions, though, I think, that we need to be asking the Commonwealth attorneys in this race? I'm thinking of diversity on jury duties.
Sure.
I'm thinking of expunging criminal records. Those are some of the first issues that come to my mind. But you're a defense lawyer. You tangle with with this office on a number of occasions. What are some issues that we need to be talking about?
Well, I mean, just what you said. I mean, the diversity in the jury pool is very important. And it's, you know, that's the pool before you even get to the jury is where diversity needs to be. And that's an issue that the Commonwealth's attorney, the new Commonwealth's attorney, has to address, as well as the indictment decisions, who you indict, who you prosecute, how vigorously you prosecute them, and overall community safety, which goes hand in hand, community safety and the relationship that they have with certain sectors of the community.
Now, a brief explanation about why this race has become controversial for people who may not know, why this race is now becoming at the forefront a little bit. James Mallory, he's a man who's accused of killing 15-year-old Gregory Holt.
Right.
A break-in at the apartment of Mr. Holt's family, I guess, resulted in his murder. Mr. Mallory is one of those people who's accused. He pled not guilty. Now, the reason this is becoming controversial as far as the Commonwealth Attorney's race is that Mallory was given a shock probation from a 9-year prison sentence in February at the request of Van der Rostein.
Sure.
And Holt's family has, I believe, called for his resignation publicly in a few press conferences I've seen. Holt's aunt or maybe mother or someone call for his Van der Rostein's resignation. Is this going to hurt his candidacy at all? I mean, the fact is that this is pretty controversial where the judge was like, I'm not really sure. Then I believe the Courier dug a little bit further into Mallory's case to where he was given that shock probation because he was a witness or at least had information about other cases, basically turning snitch, as the streets would call it.
The streets. Well, that's what they call it in the courthouse, too. Everybody refers to it as snitches. But, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue because Tom's a good guy.
He was the favorite, too, wasn't he?
I don't know if he was the favorite. I think the favorites are probably Ryan and Wine because of, you know, the time that they've been in public office. But Van der Rostein is, you know, he's right up there.
Does this completely knock him out as far as some people are concerned? I mean, this is something that goes on pretty regularly in the courthouse. Yeah. You know, police and prosecutors use people who are, involved in crime or somehow involved in the criminal underworld who have certain information that they help law enforcement obtain, quote unquote, the bigger fish or other cases. This has obviously opened up that conversation again, but does this completely torpedo his chances?
Well, I don't know I don't think it knocks him out. I mean, if you want a guy that's, or a female in this case, that have boots on the ground experience, up to date experience, current experience, you've got Carol Cobb and you've got Tom Van der Rostein, who are still in the office. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for, then that's who you go with. I don't think it knocks him out of contention. It's a big issue. It was hot. It's probably died down a bit. It was hot at the time. But like you said, you know, and one major thing is the reason that they have to have these jailhouse snitches or snitches, you know, that have records, people don't come forward with evidence. People that have evidence don't come forward because of fear or whatever.
Final question here. What's your prediction for the Commonwealth Attorney's race? Who's going to win this since you're down there all the time?
Prediction. Oh, man. Prediction, I think it's probably going to be a two-person race between Tom Wine and Steve Ryan.
Gotcha. Brandon Lawrence, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Noise and Notes is produced by WFPL. For more information, visit WFPL.org.